By the powers vested in me, by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
He's back! Hi, everybody. Spike O'Neill here with you again, still.
Yeah, did they just hear you?
Yes, you did.
Oh, okay.
Hi.
Hi again.
Hi, brother. Spike O'Neill here with Matt Butler. Welcome to Cairo Nights. You know, for the last couple days, I've had the honor of filling in for John Curley on the John Curley and Sherry Elker Show. John's out doing the work he likes to do, gets to do as an auctioneer, helping different charities around the country raise money for their very worthwhile causes. John's very good at what he does, very sought after for his skills. And I appreciate the chance to sit in with his audience. I know that my points of view don't always jive with John's point of view. I think Sherry and I are more similar than John and I. And I know John and Sherry's audience has a particular way they see the world, a particular set of priorities that they hold dear. And I do respect that. I don't always agree with points of view that are brought up on that show. And I know the audience today didn't agree with a lot of points of view that I brought up on this show. But I really do think it's important that we listen to other people in this world. And I'm talking to myself, too. I'm speaking personally. I know that it's important to not just believe the things you believe and or to seek out information that contradicts what you believe. I guess is the right thing, is the way to put that. I really do feel that way. And I often go into conversations with people of opposing views, and I come out of it. I've had my mind changed. I've changed other people's mind. I've at least listened to and respected different points of view if I don't agree with and don't change my mind about. But everyone deserves the amount of time and respect it takes to hear them out. I truly believe that. And
that's one of the great things that makes this, I think, one of the standout talk radio stations in the nation. We have live local people. We have a broad range of points of view. Everybody's heard. I think it's pretty awesome to work here personally.
I agree. Thank you very much. And the texters today shared their points of view with me. Some of them agreed with how I feel. A lot of people agree with my point of view about President Biden today, whatever side of the aisle you're on. President Biden's gaffe looking for the deceased Congresswoman, Jackie, what's her last name? Oh, well, enough. Jackie. I'll look it up because that's that. Now that's disrespectful when I don't remember the deceased congresswoman's name the president was referring to. But I was just saying that that President Biden sounded scarily detached at his event yesterday, and the fact that the White House press secretary kind of danced around answering the question and tried to make up excuses for what the president said when he was complimenting the folks who had worked on getting the legislation passed that he was there announcing yesterday, the efforts that were undertaken on a bipartisan basis to get something done for folks. And when the president was doing that, he thanked the legislators involved and then asked about a congresswoman that had died last spring in a car accident and asked if she was there and would she be there. He thought she'd be there today. That's a terrifying moment to hear from your president that he's had a, not to make light of it, but it's a senior moment.
Yeah, I would say there are some factors at play here in these two aspects of it that we mentioned. First of all, Biden forgetting the name, while it is embarrassing and sad, presidents have an awful lot to do. And being an older president will cause people to not have perfect memories.
No,
you're doing
a lot
of things and having to keep a lot of names, a lot of ranks, a lot of people in order.
No, Matt, hold on. That's true. And I agree with you. I can't imagine juggling the amount of information required to do that job. And I'm not going to point fingers at the last guy or whatever guy prior to him, because there are stories the last guy didn't want to know anything, didn't listen to daily briefings. I don't think that's the case with Biden. But it's not like he forgot who he was talking about. He was wondering if this woman, who he knew full well had died, was looking around for her in the room, and that's a terrifying thing.
Yeah,
he didn't forget her name. Yes, it was. And the fact that the White House press secretary wouldn't own that,
that part I understand.
Yeah.
That it's good,
no.
But I understand why if your press secretary, because think about this. there's a certain level at which you don't want to dignify certain criticisms coming from your opponent.
Right.
So if a standard right-wing line of attack is Biden's senile, Biden has dementia, blah, 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 and you're the press secretary, you might be wanting, you know, be putting up like hands up, miss me with that stuff.
Yeah, I hear you. But it was fair to say what was going on when he was asking if this person was in the room. That's not a gotcha question, in my opinion. You know me, as the text pointed out this afternoon, one-way flights to Venezuela today are pretty cheap. Thanks very much. I know what a socialist is, and I'm not one, so maybe we should all buy a dictionary and look it up. But when the president is asking if someone is in the room, and he knows full well that this woman is deceased, you know, he's got it's a former, actually, the late Representative Jackie Walorski from Indiana, who died in August in a car crash. Her family will be at the White House tomorrow. They're being honored because of former Representative Walorski's work toward this goal. You know, they're going to rename a veterans clinic in her honor. And for the White House press secretary to say, well, she was on his mind because the family will be here. Those may well all be true, but that wasn't addressing the concerning issue and the legitimate question of what was the president, what was his state of mind when he was asking if this deceased woman was there today? He thought she'd be there today. That's something worth asking, and that's a question that deserves an answer. I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on. You know, we don't know what the president's mental state is, the state of deterioration. President Biden in 2008 was at a campaign rally and asked a gentleman in a wheelchair to stand up and be noticed. I mean, he's always had those moments of, you know, a little bit of spotty, you know.
Do we have to go back to TVs and windmills and the myriad?
No. I'm not going to play what about it. No, I hear you, man. You know, windmills cause cancer, blah, 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 blah. There's so many things that we could say, well, what about this and what about that? But I don't want to play whataboutism. You know, I mean, honestly, I support President Biden's agenda. I voted for him. You know, the things that this administration has accomplished, I think, are good for the country in the way of infrastructure investment, in the way of a reinvestment in the microchip industry so we don't have to be reliant on overseas productions for microchips that power everything we own, from our phones to our cars to our refrigerators. I mean, you know, that was a good move to add health care for veterans exposed to toxic chemical burn pits.
I will say this, and this is just my personal opinion.
That's all we got is our personal opinion, yeah.
But my take on this is that Biden would not have accomplished half of the things he has accomplished if he were as bad off mentally as his opponents claim that he is.
No, I agree. And that's what's disingenuous about it. I mean, he's having moments of concern. And that's all I'm saying. And I think that deserves attention and recognition and acknowledgement and an answer. I'm not saying that he has lost the capacity to do his job. And people who say that, they're being disingenuous. They're not being honest with themselves. Clearly, he could not have done the things this administration has accomplished if he was a tub of Jell-O. He's not. But he also ain't the former version of himself.
And that's why most Democrats don't want him to run again in the next term.
Yeah,
that takes the issue right off the table if he doesn't.
That was the point we tried to bring up today when I was on with Sherry this afternoon and sitting in for John Curley. Was that, you know, is it in the country's best interest to have the oldest president in history, which Biden is right now, you know, seek a second term? He would be, I think, 81, 82 if he is reelected and starts a second term. And if what we're getting in the last couple of days is any indication as to what things would be like as he moves forward, I can't imagine that's in the best interest of the country. I still think the agenda that his party, my party, promotes, in a lot of cases, you may not agree with a lot of the platforms, but I think they are in the best interest of the country. I think Joe Biden, while old for the job, maybe too old for the job, genuinely cares about the well-being of this country. I think he genuinely cares about government working. I'm trying to find a way to describe working how. Just working. Because we've reached a point where government doesn't work at all. We've become so partisan, so gotcha, that it doesn't work at all.
Well, maybe government not work is a campaign platform.
It is. It's a strength. It's not a fault to a lot of people in politics these days. You know, I'm watching this horrific hurricane, Ian. It could be the most costly, most deadly hurricane in Florida history. And I'm watching it, you know, go into the west coast of Florida, and the floodwaters come in. I've got an aunt and uncle who live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where exactly where Ian came ashore. And we haven't heard from them since yesterday. Nobody in my family has. I'm sure they're fine. I'm sure they're going to be fine. My sister who lives just outside of Tampa is fine. I spoke with her. They didn't even lose power. You know, over 2 million Floridians have lost power in the last 36 hours. My sister's house and family are fine. My dad's family is fine. My aunt and uncle we haven't heard from, and that's concerning to me. The point I bring up is, you know, this is a moment where the governor of Florida needs to do his job and step up and care for the citizens of his state. And the federal government needs to step up and assist the governor of Florida in anything they need to assist in the rescue, the restoration, the cleanup, whatever it is, whatever it takes to get Americans back to the life they deserve. And to that point, the governor of Florida ought to be singing the praises of the administration that helped their state.
I actually saw today DeSantis did say that he believes that Biden truly cares about helping Floridians.
That's what I'm saying.
But good for him.
These days, you know, it's like it's a taboo to say something good about the other side, even if they're doing a good job.
Was it Chris Christie for shaking Obama's hand back in the day?
Right. He was ostracized by a large portion of his party. When we're talking about Hurricane Sandy, when it came up the eastern seaboard, slammed into New Jersey, wiped out a lot of the coast of New Jersey, moved into New York City and flooded downtown Manhattan. There's Governor Christie at the time out there shaking President Obama's hand because the president was doing the right thing for the citizens of his country, regardless of the political stripe of the state affected by these natural disasters. Same thing that's happening in Florida today. And if you heard DeSantis say good things about the president, I didn't hear that. I was watching the news today with the sound off, watching the various screens. That's how it should be. You know, and then we'll have policy disagreements and we'll debate those issues. We'll present our best ideas. We'll vote, and the party that wins the election moves forward and implements those ideas. The party that didn't win the election regroups, does a forensic on the campaigns, on the platform they put together, comes up with better ideas, makes a better argument to the American people, and we move on in that direction. That's how it works.
That's what always bothered me, though, that it seems like lately there was, remember the autopsy report?
Yes.
The GOP.
Yes, did an autopsy.
They said, we need to do these things. We need to appeal to younger, more diverse groups of people to motivate them to vote for Republicans, which some of them were convertible groups. You could make the numbers work.
Absolutely.
We've seen that with Hispanics in the state of Texas.
Absolutely.
And Florida. They've achieved gains there. But in general, Republicans claim to be free marketers. And this is the thing. In the free market, when your product doesn't sell, you either fold or you adjust. And I don't see a lot of the adjustment of the product to suit the voters. Instead, they want to cling to the shrinking demographic. That's what is not working. It's not a modernization of the political parties or an evolving of their positions at all. So it doesn't seem to track with how they generally believe the market should work.
I couldn't have said it better. And the answer isn't to deny the results of an election, to put state legislators in place to take the power of picking our elected officials from the hands of the voters and putting it in the hands of state legislators controlled by one party or the other. That's not how it was intended to work. You know, if you've got to, you know, grab power away from the majority, that's not a constitutional republic. That's not a democracy, whatever you want to help label what we are. I know we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. But that being said, we count the votes. And at the end of the day, in a fair and free election, the person who gets the most votes wins. And we're not going to debate whether the election was stolen. You know, Jenny Thomas spoke today before the January 6th committee and continued to say in her belief the election was stolen. There was massive fraud, despite all lack of evidence to that point. That woman still feels and she lobbied states.
Do you buy for 1 minute that she doesn't talk about that stuff at home with her husband? I don't.
If they had had a well-documented public relationship like they've had, where she hadn't said, we are partners, we talk about everything. They've both said that repeatedly. There's thousands of minutes of tape of Ginny Thomas and Judge Clarence Thomas talking about how they're a partnership and their success is dependent upon the other's support and counsel and their best friends. No, I don't believe for a moment that her off-the-charts conspiracy-laden beliefs that the election was stolen, her active lobbying of numerous states' legislatures to take matters into their own hands, was not discussed with her husband. I don't believe that for a second. And we can all have our own, well, what about this guy? And what about, I don't want to play what about. I mean, you asked about, you know, Ginny Thomas, and that's, I think it's crazy that she expects anybody to believe that she doesn't discuss with her husband, a Supreme Court justice, that she didn't discuss her political views, her political ambitions and activities with her own husband. I think it's that to ask us to believe that is underestimating us as an American people. Oh, closer to home. I just, you know, wow, I'm just wired up today. All this stuff going on. You know, let's talk about, we talked about the Mariners. In fact, Lisa already gave us the magic number update because the Orioles already lost to Boston today. The M's are taking on the Rangers right now over there at T-Mobile. If the M's manage to win tonight, they won last night. Their magic number is down to 2. That means any combination of 2 Mariner wins or Oriole losses, and the M's will clinch a playoff spot.
Currently at the top of the third, we've got the Rangers up 4-2 over the Mariners.
In the third, it's fast, furious. A lot of scoring already. We'll keep you posted on the score so you can stay here and just be mad at whatever I say. I really appreciate you guys hanging out with us tonight. We mentioned last night about folks having to do second jobs, side hustles, taking on extra shifts. That's what I'm doing. If the boss asks me if I can sit in for somebody, I'm doing it because it pays more money. I need the money. Need to make budget this month, everybody. So if you were here with us this afternoon, we appreciate it. If you just tuned in tonight, we're glad you're joining us. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. Some things we covered this afternoon, we can go back into tonight for this audience. Some things we didn't get to, we'd like to get to tonight. We will. I promise you. We can talk about what it means to watch in hurricane coverage, because I cannot believe that we still send people out with a microphone and a prayer to bring us live footage from a 120-mile-an-hour windstorm.
And you better carry your condoms, too.
Yeah, I saw that lady. Oh, hey, but let's be adult about this. That was brilliant broadcasting.
Indeed it was. No, it was resourceful.
It was resourceful, yeah.
I'm just saying now we know why we need to put them there, in the emergency kit.
We might be the last two people on Earth. And that they won't need a condom. It's Kyra Knights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. Don't go anywhere. Be right back. Crescent Moon already at 7:33. Oh, it just breaks my heart. Super Bad?
Pusher Man.
Pusher Man.
This one by request from a loyal listener.
Nice. So a story on MyNorthwest.com there. By the way, I'm Spike O'Neill. Welcome back to Kyra Knights along with Matt Butler. A story on MyNorthwest.com talks about this could be the warmest start to October in nearly 30 years. We had a magnificent week weather-wise. A little bit of a morning drizzle or sprinkle, or depending upon what part of town you were in, was that yesterday morning. It was really nice, kind of welcome. You know, had to have a little overcast, a little bit of a cool down, a little bit of a drizzle. Because it's coming. We're going to get it soon. It's going to be blustery and chilly and damp. All the leaves are going to fall off the trees, and it's going to stay for 8 freaking months. But right now, it's wonderful. The National Weather Service says Seattle has never recorded consecutive high temperatures of 80 degrees and up in October. There's a chance that could happen between Sunday and Tuesday of this coming weekend and week. 80 degrees and above on consecutive days. That's the forecast from Sunday to Tuesday. You know, one of the issues we've had with the weather here, we had a very wet spring. I mean, you remember, it didn't get nice until June this year. It was kind of, you know, almost got robbed of spring. It was just an extended, gross, you know, damp, cold spring. And that makes the vegetation grow. And then when the summer comes and it dries out and gets hot, especially east of the mountains or up to the mountains as it is out there by Skycomish and Index and that part of town, the Bolt Creek Fire, all that vegetation dries out, becomes subjected to heat, lightning strikes, and wildfires. And that's kind of what we got now. There's a story about what they can and can't do to fight the Bolt Creek Fire. They're under threat of evacuation again out there. The folks in the Skycomish and Index areas along Route 2 as you approach Stevens Pass. In fact, Route 2 is still closed, and they don't know when it's going to be able to reopen. And the terrain in that part of our state, it's just – and it's a beautiful part of the state. Yes. Oh, Lisa Brooks came in. What did I get wrong?
I'm just breaking in. The State Department of Transportation just reopened Highway 2. So that, after several days, is
as I said, we'll have it first. Hold on. Let's give you the – that was beautiful. The sounder, Matt, if you would, please.
Cairo News Radio, breaking news.
And the State Department of Transportation announced that as of just a few moments ago, Highway 2 has been reopened between milepost 46 and 50. You can cross the state on Highway 2 once again.
Thank you so much. Welcome. I appreciate that. See, that's what happens when you work in one of the greatest newsrooms of all time, right here. That can be just making stuff up on the fly, and here come the facts. It's going to be gorgeous this weekend. It's going to be wonderful early next week. We could have a record warm start to October. As I was saying, that fire, they're in a position now where it's hard to fight that fire because of terrain, because you can't get up there on the slopes of those hills along Route 2 where the fire is coming close to the towns of Index and Skycomish. You can't get in there to fight the fire, to cut fire lines. You can't take out vegetation because then once – the rainy season comes, and it is coming. Then we get mudslides and everything else that happens. So it's beautiful weather. This is what we live for around here. This is what we deserve and earned with our cruddy, wet spring. It's a beautiful Indian summer, a beautiful September and early October weather. And then, you know, and then the fall is going to really catch us and blow us over. All the leaves off the trees.
Some people love this weather, though. Some people love this kind of vibe.
The fall?
Yeah.
Cool, chill, gray?
Yeah.
I got to admit, I do. I don't, I'm, of course, this is wonderful. What's not to love about sunny in the 70s? That's, you know, that some people plan their whole lives to move to an area that always delivers this. We only get this a short portion of the year, so we do get to enjoy it. And it's why this is the most desirable place to live in the country, in my opinion.
I like it because it reminds me a lot of the time I spent in the UK and the way the weather is over there. So it's familiar to me and pleasant. I find it calming.
You talk about the gray and cool and blustery windy.
I do like it.
I like it, too. I like the things fall brings. And I'm not talking pumpkin spice lattes. They're fine. But I'm not a devotee of the PSLs.
Or a devotee, either.
Devotee, whatever.
Either.
I don't, you know, I'm not a big fan of the English thing. Thanks a lot, pal. I love football season. You know, I love fall weather. I love Halloween. I love that fall, that crisp fall morning air, bright, clear mornings where with a bit of frost on the ground, you know, frost on the pumpkins. I like the pumpkins are out already at the stores. A little myth that Costco already has the Christmas decorations up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and they've been up for weeks.
You know, I mean, you know, Halloween decorations.
Halloween arrived on July 5th. I think they put Halloween out at Costco. And then right around Labor Day, they put Christmas out at Costco. It's funny. My wife, we have a pretty unique relationship in my house. My wife and I, we are different, but we complement each other. I like to think she's a Halloween girl. That's her holiday, man. That's her patron holiday right there. She's a firmly believe that if it could be black and orange and spooky all year long, my wife would be just fine with that. I'm a Christmas guy. I love Christmas. I would start decorating. I mean, I hate seeing that at Costco already because you don't skip over the holidays. Every holiday deserves its, you know, its time in the sun or the gray, as it were. We've got bins and bins full of decorations for Halloween and Christmas. In fact, I rent a storage unit. It's embarrassing to say this out loud. For our decorations. I mean, that's kind of like I've got
okay,
a problem.
Okay, I have to. What size storage unit?
Well, the storage unit itself is it's too big. I have a storage unit full of many things, not just Halloween decorations. Okay, here we go. I'm a bit of a pack rat. I'm a borderline hoarder, I guess I can say. We have a storage unit that we have had for 18 years. A storage unit. It's embarrassing. One of those, I'm not going to name the company because they're not paying me to say it. And I don't get any kind of break. In fact, my storage unit pricing has gone up ridiculously of late. When I first rented the storage unit 18 years ago, about that, it was 100 and something a month. Now it's over four, and they're about to increase it again every month. I know I'm a moron for having the storage. Why don't I just go through it, you ask? Because it's all precious to us. It's furniture from my wife's family, you know, from grandparents. It's various framed artwork that we have in storage because we've got too much stuff on our walls at home now. It's a whole shelf full of black and orange, those big storage bins, right? We have a whole shelf full of black and orange bins full of Halloween decorations. Right above that is a whole shelf full of green and red storage bins full of Christmas decorations. And I'm spending what I could be getting a brand new Mercedes in monthly payments. I'm putting that into a storage, you know, facility's pocket every month because I don't have the room in my house. Or have we got a house full of stuff? When we bought our home 17 years ago, we moved out of the house we had on Queen Anne Hill, and we prepped for sale. I don't know if you ever sold a home, Matt, but they tell you to stage it when you have a home, when you have open houses and people coming in to buy your home. Anybody that's ever been shopping for or trying to sell a home knows this. You stage the home so that it looks sparsely furnished, so it looks roomy. You take all the clutter out of your house so the rooms look bigger. You take most of the things out of your closet. So the closet looks, you open up a closet and there's a few things hanging there, but the closet looks big and spacious, not stuffed to the rafters with everything you own. We took all the things out of our home on Queen Anne. We put them in storage so we could sell our Queen Anne home, which we did. We bought our new home up in the North Seattle area. At that point, we started loading our new home with new things we bought and didn't just bring the things back from storage. So now I have a storage unit I've had for nearly 20 years, full of the stuff I moved off Queen Anne and never brought home. I'm paying someone else so I don't have to look at my own stuff. And I think we all kind of have that moment, or that, or at least some part of that in our lives, that we just keep too much stuff.
Do you have that concern, not to be morbid, but I read a thing that said a lot of people think about what happens to their stuff when they pass away. And a lot of people are wanting to deal with it in advance because they didn't want their children to have the burden of sorting through and trying to figure out what to do with their things. Is that something that concerns you?
You know what? I tell you what it is. It's funny because I've talked about this with a therapist. When I was younger, we had a house fire, and we lost everything in a house fire. And since that time, whenever I get something, I hold on to it. I mean, like, I don't think I've ever sold anything I've owned. You know, I've traded in a car a couple of times in my life on a new car. But we have everything I've ever bought, basically. Everything I've ever touched. We seem to – and stuff we give away to charity over the years. Make a lot of donations to Goodwill or whomever it is. St. Vincent de Paul, whomever. But I think I hold on to things because at one time I lost everything and I still have it. A texter writes, is all that stuff worth what I pay a month, a year? No, not even close. And I know better. And I know that – it's a burden to not go through it ahead of time. It's a burden on your children once my wife and I, God forbid, pass on. And then my kids had to go through that damn storage unit. We just had to go through my father-in-law's stuff when he passed away. But enough about my psychotherapy session with the city here. It's Kyra Knights. I'm Spike O'Neill. We'll be right back. I promise we'll find something else to talk about besides my problems. I promise. Boy, tons of advice on the text line about my stuff. Yeah, I should just shut up and take a moment to pay respects.
mama thinks that my mind is gone, but I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it.
Coolio passed away yesterday at the age of 59. Unbelievably too young, man. As a person of 59 years myself. And it's funny, I was talking about how much stuff we have and the fact that I'm kind of a borderline hoarder. And decluttering is the most healthy thing you can do. It really is. There's so many benefits to going through your stuff and decluttering your stuff and giving away the stuff you don't need. Are you familiar with Marie Kondo? I think her name is Marie.
Yes, yeah. I'm familiar with the that was
the
trending
the phenomenon.
Thing a while back.
Yeah,
yes.
A couple years ago, I think it hit. And the concept, if you're not familiar with it, was she's I want to say Japanese, but I'll say Asian, out of not being sure, not wanting to offend anybody. The things we hold on to from our past kind of inhibit our growth. And clutter our ability to live in the moment and move forward in our lives. So I've got this psychological disorder where I hold on to everything I've ever owned because I've lost everything at one time in my life. So I got to deal with that first and then the stuff I have second, I think.
Some good news here in the bottom of the fourth. The Mariners are 6 to the Rangers 4.
Rams are trucking along. See, you know what? I knew that the Mariner offense, I hoped the Mariner offense would wake from its late season slumber. As I mentioned yesterday about this time, the bigger story for Mariner fans ought to be, where are we in the overall wild card race? It will be wonderful to secure a spot in the postseason. If you're not familiar with how the wild card structure works in postseason play, there are 2 wild card series in each league, American and National. There are 3 wild card teams. The first 2 finishers in the wild card race will play each other with all games at the top seeded's park. The 3rd place team will play the division winner with the worst record, all at the 3rd place division winner's park. It's not a home and away series. So while the M's may have a magic number of 2 today, maybe 1 by the morning, who knows? If we secure the 3rd playoff spot, we would play a wild card series best of 3 all in Cleveland against the Guardians. If we finish in the 2nd wild card spot, the Mariners would play the top wild card seed with all games at that top number 1 wild card spot's ballpark. For the M's to get home baseball in the at least in the wild card round, we'd have to rise to the number 1 wild card spot. And as of this morning, we were only 2 games out of the number 1 wild card spot. It's not an unattainable goal. It'd be nice to make the postseason. It would be even better to host postseason baseball at T-Mobile Park in front of 47,000 screaming Mariner fans. I've been to Mariner playoff baseball. You know, that's how old I am. I'm wearing a jersey today. I don't know if you noticed, Matt, my Mariner jersey from 2001. Got the little 2001 patch on the sleeve, the All-Star Game patch on the sleeve.
So it's vintage at
this point. It's an authentic Ichiro jersey from 2001, from the last time we made the playoffs. You'll know it's authentic because it doesn't fit me anymore. I've blossomed, and it doesn't quite button anymore. But I dug it out because I'd love to see that come back, man. This town may some people say we're fair-weather fans. I don't think that's the case. But there's just so much to do in this town. There are so many options for our recreation and entertainment, time and money. You got to put up. You got to put up a nice trip, a nice product, a nice view to get Seattleites to buy into you for their recreational and entertainment time and dollars. And when the M's play playoff baseball, last couple seasons, the M's have played pretty good baseball for a team that was, you know, rebuilding. It's a whole brand new ballgame down there at T-Mobile. And tonight, as you mentioned, the M's have retaken the lead. Against the Rangers, what was the score? 6-4?
Yep, 6-4 is the score.
Thank you, brother.
Fourth.
We'll keep you posted. We hope you'll keep it here. It's Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. Cairo Knights. We'll be right back, folks.